This is the last Sunday before the glorious feast of the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is this Thursday. Not next Sunday, this Thursday, Ascension Thursday, when we shall celebrate it. And here we have that the church has chosen these particular readings, especially the Gospel, in which the Lord speaks to the apostles and the disciples very clearly, and they say, "Now we know. Thou art not speaking in proverbs, in parables, in riddles," as he does most of the time, by the way, because he wants us to pay attention. He says, "I have come from the Father. Ask anything you want in my name of the Father, and he will give it to you." Now, St. Augustine, in his sermon on this particular subject, and of course, yesterday we celebrated the feast of his mother, St. Monica. He wouldn't be St. Augustine if it weren't for her. Mothers, pay attention. He says, what is happening here is that when we speak and when we ask something of God that is not proper, not correct, not holy, or even, in fact, some people do ask, evil, sinful things, God doesn't listen. He turns, he closes his eyes, he shuts his ears. And of course, many of the prayers in the sacred liturgy say, "Turn your ear towards us, O Lord." So, you know, it makes me think of the cats and the doggies, that they turn their ears to the sound. Well, that's the same idea. We can't turn our ears, but we can turn our face. And so he says, when you ask for something that is not good, nothing's going to happen. So when you ask for something, it needs to be something that is good, that is holy, that is not immoral. And then, if you ask it in the Son's name, he shall answer. Now, of course, as of yet in the liturgy especially, other than in certain parts where it is necessary, the Holy Spirit is almost never mentioned. This is deliberate. This is the little by little form of revelation that God chose. From the beginning of time, in Genesis, when he created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, not in 50,000 billions of years, as the liberals and the atheists say. Forget all that nonsense. Look at all the videos from the Kolbe Center that we have had here every year to preach to us and teach us. The scripture is not at fault. There are no mistakes. And so from the very beginning, he did, however, take his time. He did not at first reveal everything. He did not at first reveal the Son. And most certainly, he did not reveal the Holy Spirit, though they were there, the eternal God. Three persons and one God, as we will celebrate in a couple of weeks on Trinity Sunday, which is the official ending of the Easter season. And so therefore, little by little. And so we have here, the Holy Spirit is not mentioned here. But the Father is mentioned, and the Son is mentioned. The Son who comes from the Father. And the vocabulary that is used, and of course the English is hardly perfect in any way, it almost sounds as if he had come out of a jar, you know, Jesus came out of the jar called the Father and came to the earth. That's not at all what it is. The eternal Trinity, the glorious, magnificent, dynamic life of the Trinity is always taking place for eternity, before the world was made, before the universe, the stars, and everything else that is in it, which is beyond your imagination. But it's all coming from God. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit always, eternally together, But little by little, he reveals himself, God as he is. And then the Son is promised and sent. And right at the very beginning, in Genesis 3:15, the mother of the Son is promised. And she, with her Son, will crush the head of the serpent. How often do you refer to them when you are tempted, that they may crush in you, in your life, in your soul, in your heart, in your body, the head of the serpent again? Wherever there is sin, especially mortal sin, the serpent is king. The serpent, not God. We must get rid of him. And so St. Augustine says, if you don't ask what is proper, he will not answer. And a lot of times we say we ask for this and we ask for that, and the answer is not forthcoming. Perhaps we're not asking for the right thing. Perhaps we're not asking the right frame of mind and spirit. Perhaps we are not asking with love and humility of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He says once a person asks in the right way and asks for the right things, then the answer shall be given. Forthwith, immediately. And so our Lord here is teaching us about himself and about his ineffable life as the second person of the Trinity. And of course, we will see this more in a couple of weeks, as I said. But in the meantime, we prepare for that bittersweet feast of Thursday, when we will see that our Lord will leave us, but not orphans. And the candle will be extinguished during the beautiful Mass of the Ascension this Thursday. And then we will start the novena to the Holy Spirit that you have in your bulletins and will be in the pews. The most important and powerful novena. And so we hope and pray that we'll be able to achieve all that God wants us to achieve. And in this shrine, we have seen so many miracles. In addition, today, we celebrate one of my favorite feasts, the feast of a saint to whom we owe so much, the Dominican Pope St. Pius V. Now, I would go very often to see his body. It's not incorrupt, but it's there to be seen, with a silver mask on top of his face and his hands, dressed as a pope should be dressed. In the Blessed Sacrament Chapel of the Blessed Sacrament of St. Mary Major, the Basilica of the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of the Snows. And I was recalling, as I was thinking about these mysteries, when I was a seminarian in Rome, that we had to sneak to his tomb to pray to him, especially on his feast days. And I was praying to him to grant us an end, as the Collect of St. Pius V's Mass says, to keep all the evil away from us. He has given us this Mass, which is a continuation of a Mass of St. Gregory the Great. And that's why it's called the Gregorian Mass, the Gregorian Rite. And you know what? A lot of people like to lay a lot of blames here, there, and everywhere. And that's not our business anyway. That's up to God. But it wasn't St. Paul the VI or some of the cardinals who were fighting for tradition. And they all did, believe it or not. But it was the fact that in and after the council, the Masons and the modernists took over everything. Even the Pope was not at freedom to do what he wanted to do. And so I ask St. Pius V to do away with all the evil that surrounds us in the Church. And again, I don't care about the world. The world is not of God. He created it, but not the way it is. Satan, Lucifer, is the prince of this world. But the Church, that is our concern, my concern. And so we pray to St. Pius V to get rid of all the evil that surrounds us. And on this, his feast, we particularly raise up our hearts and our hands and our voices to him in heaven. And my mind and my soul goes to his tomb at St. Mary Major, where I have prayed literally hundreds of times, if not more, that he will grant us our petition. Our Lord has said the Father will answer us. We are not asking for anything evil. We are asking, as so many are asking, as so many are waking up all over the world, in the United States, some in Canada, some in Latin America, which has not awakened yet, but it is beginning to, in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, where the Gregorian Rite is being returned to the people who never wanted to get rid of it. And it's the young people. Granted, we have some older people that want it and have fought for it. Some of them are gone now. Like the Hitchcocks and Michael Davis and so many others. It is the young people that are awaking and wanting, despite all the evil that is in the Church, to start, to continue the traditional Mass of St. Gregory the Great and of St. Pius V. And one of the things that I point out to you, if you look at my Facebook page, you know, Facebook is like a gun. It's a neutral thing. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. Guns sometimes give us food to eat. So it's not the gun that's evil. It's the person who is wielding it to do evil. But I put many, many reports on there, and I see that the numbers of young people all over the world, in Spain, there are literally hundreds of thousands who go in a pilgrimage similar to the Chartres pilgrimage in France. Every year, to Our Lady of Rocío of Pentecost, to Our Lady of Covadonga, who began the fight against the infidels who had taken over Spain. And then, of course, in France, in many other places, it is the young people. Old people cannot walk several hundred miles or 1,000 miles. That's impossible. So we pray to St. Pius V in a very, very special way to awaken all the young people of the Church and that they may get together and work hard and pray harder to bring about the real restoration of the liturgy and of the Mass that was the original desire of St. John the 23rd and of Venerable Pius the 12th. And so that is my prayer in a very special way today. And in the meantime, I cannot but thank God that he has placed me here, who I'm able to do it, and to celebrate these sacred mysteries in this sacred rite of the liturgy given to us by St. Pius V and St. Gregory the Great. May soon the whole world wake up and be inflamed with the fire of the Holy Spirit, with the fire of divine love. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.